And you can go deep also mentally, then it's a pleasure to go 60K an hour or 50K an hour. But today we rode it 54, 56, 11, or 56, 10. Today they go with chain ring for 62, 11, or
Oh no.
62, 10. So you see how cycling has changed. So I
Yeah.
could go 70K an hour, I don't know.
G'day legends, and welcome back to the Press Room Podcast presented by Zwift Legends. It is so good to be back here delivering another episode for you guys to enjoy. And I tell you what, I enjoyed a short break, but during the break, I was also hustling to get you guys the best guests on the pod for you to enjoy on the Zwift or on the commute or whilst you're at work. So there's plenty of big episodes already in the gun coming up over the next 10 weeks. So looking forward to it. And if you're new to the pod, welcome. Make sure you subscribe because we've got some absolute crackers on the horizon. But today's guest for episode 98 is none other than Fabian Cancellara, aka Spartacus, one of the greatest classics riders of his generation, and also one of the best time trials of his generation as well. His palmarès, it's too long, okay? Go look it up on firstcycling.com, but the main bits: 3 times Roubaix, 3 times Flanders, 3 times world champion in the time trial, and a dual gold medalist. It doesn't get better than that. Now, Fabian, not only did he have a huge career himself, but also he is the team owner of Tudor Pro Cycling, the Swiss-based Pro Tour team that in the last 2 years have really rose to the top in terms of all of the Pro Tour teams. Just their scheduling, where they're sending their riders, their fresh signings they made this year, and they're just doing such a good job. And on the eve of this episode, on the night we recorded the episode with Fabian, Alva Decline, their sprinter, the big unit, got their first World Tour win, winning a sprint in Paris-Nice, I believe. So the timing was perfect, and Fabian was in a great mood of that. So, this episode, in two halves, okay? The first half is all about Tudor, okay? We want to know, why did Fabian start the team? How did he start the team? How did he accrue the right sponsors? You know, his connections with BMC, with Tudor, obviously critical to this team. And what were the challenges they faced with regards to getting the riders and going after, you know, race spots, and also managing sponsors and their expectations? And Fabian, he does a pretty good job at trying to explain those things and learning more about this team. So I think you guys will really start to follow Tudor a lot more after this episode, I hope. And you might even see some similarities to Uno X with regards to how Fabian explains the structure of the team and its ethos. I think they're really quite closely aligned with how they're operating, and that's really exciting. So, I hope you guys really enjoy that part. And then in the second half, we talk about Fabian's career, and we compare his rivalry with Tom Boonen with that of Van der Poel and Van Aert. And we find out a few cool stories from Fabian's career, and I hope you guys can pick it up in the episode. But he's actually got a bit of a alter ego, you know. His nickname was Spartacus in the classics, and just with the way I was talking to him, I got the feeling he really enjoyed that sort of level and that pedestal he was on when he was the big dog in the cycling world during his career. And just in a really funny way, I quite enjoyed it. He had a little twinkle in his eye. And actually, you can watch it. These episodes are now all on YouTube, so you can watch the episodes there, and perfect for when you're on the ergo and you need something to distract yourself while you're doing those hard sessions on Zwift. And speaking of Zwift, legends, before we get stuck into this episode, Zwift are the greatest indoor training platform available to anyone. And they are just amazing. And for the third year, they are our title sponsor. So we got some big things happening in August, which I can't wait to share with you all. But in the meantime, if you haven't tried Zwift, and as winter is just creeping in the calendar for us Oceania-based humans, it's time to get on there, renew the account, get the ergos in, get the workouts in, Try some races, enjoy the new pack dynamics, which is so much more improved from a year ago. Just the way your avatar moves through the pelo now is just much smoother and more realistic. So yeah, reactivate those accounts, legends, for winter, or if you haven't already, try it. There's free trials on the website that you can check out. And you know, you support Zwift, you're supporting the TPR podcast, which is really nice. And also, bike racks, legends, TPR20. You save 20% off any bike rack storage products. It's bikerakz.com.au, and you can check out the real nice bicycle storage solutions for either your home, your shed, your bike cave, anything. Check them out. Use the code TPR20. We love bike racks, and you just can't beat it, eh? Okay, legends, it's time to get stuck in the episode. This is episode 98, Fabian Cancellara. I'll see you on the other side. We caught you at a great time, didn't we? Think of yesterday's awesome result.
Yeah, was great. Yeah, definitely, yeah.
He's been knocking on the door, hasn't he, Arvid, with the big world tour win.
Yeah. I think it was, it's our first win of the season. So it's quite a special one it's a team win of all single person we have in our organization that has made that possible. Because, of course, we saw Arvid celebrating, but there's a lot of work behind has been made so far, and the work is not finished. It's just a continuation today. Yeah, today there's a new stage. There are other races. So next page.
Next goes quicker. Right. It does. You're on to the next race already. Yeah. Fabio, I'm so keen to talk about Tudor Pro Cycling. I think it's been like a nice rise. And it's been quite an exciting project to follow the last couple of years. But why don't we start with, can you outline maybe your role with Tudor? Are you the owner, the team owner? Would you say that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't say simple, but look, on the end, I'm active president. Let's call it like that. So president normally doesn't work, right?
Shake hands.
I have the best... I don't say the best, but no, I have definitely a special title in terms of I can choose whatever I want. But on the other hand, I do in what I'm good at. And this is not talking to the people that we have on the certain levels, because we have on all the levels, we have mechanics, trainers, nutritionists, sports managers, we have communication, and they have all a role, and they are good in this and what they do. And I know everything because I've been through it as a bike rider, as a pro athlete. But I'm an owner. I'm an active president, making things possible. But it's their stage. It's not my stage. It's their stage. They learning, they doing. And we have made this possible that today where we are. I think we have Raphael Meyer, our general manager of the team, that is guiding, leading in the operational side. And I'm supporting Raphael. I'm supporting on all the levels, but I don't interfere in their position, because this is where sometimes you can make mistakes to do mistakes on certain levels. Because if you're in daily business in the operation and involved, it's something else. But that's another responsibility, because on the other hand, we are 110 people, and with 110 people, you need to put certain responsibilities in certain shoulders, because otherwise our structure will not work or not function.
110. Wow, that's so many employees. That's incredible. Wow.
Yeah, because we have professional team, and we have the development team.
Yes. There was actually one of the riders from your development team was in Perth, where I am, Western Australia, across the summer. Roman? I can't remember his last name, but he He was definitely here, and maybe a mountain biker and crossroad. I'll find his name. But 110 riders, 110 staff members, that's
Yeah,
that's
110 with everyone, because we see that. Yeah, I mean, look, when I have been bike rider, we had less people. Now we have more people, because it's just recommended to have more on the communication and on all the levels. And this is a structure. We are not world tour, but we have the mindset like world tours. We're aiming to get the best out of what we can do, and on in innovation as well. We have been on several times already in wind tunnels. We push the boundary. We push our partners, but this is also our DNA. I mean, we doesn't just stand still and wait of having nice stuff around us, because the world doesn't stand still, especially now when we are seeing with the newest cycling Star Wars discussions, more than bike riders, bikes, bike races discussions. I mean, look, this is innovation. Innovation never stands still. If it's from tires, wheels, setups, clothing, I mean, helmets, I mean, whatever you want to go in, nutrition, trainings, what you can get the best out of your athletes, and what you can get the best out of the organization we have. And this is what we work daily.
The philosophy that you mentioned with regards to your role in the team kind of reminded me of the Uno X general manager, or previous, Jens Haugland. He had a similar ethos to how, he would run the team and look after the team, where he wouldn't stick his nose in all the areas because he wasn't maybe an expert in nutrition, etc., or physiology, but he, enabled the staff to do what they are best at.
I think this is exactly you mentioned, support. I mean, I'm supporting the team. Rafael, our general manager, that also shares the same values we have, and values are needed, but you not need hundreds of values. I mean, we have three. It's quite simple. Swiss human performance. Swiss. It's not about chocolate and mountains and nice watches. It's about or quality. I mean, we have it's easy, reliable.
Nice.
Reliability when it comes to talks, when it comes to planification. Just in a small example, we want to know our people with who we work, not we want to know how good you are. We want to know who you are and what's your life about. Because if we know your life, we can also handle this better. We can be there for you to also have certain planification. When are your holidays? When your kids? Do you have family? What do you have? I mean, this just helps to also social life make them better, because happy people live better and perform better. And this goes to the second Swiss, like I said, but the second is human. But the human, I will explain you last. But from all the three, the human is in the middle. But we have performance, and this performance is the third one. And performance means, of course, we ride. I mean, bike races are not here just to show the jersey. I mean, we want to win bike races. This is so definitely it's part of our business. It's part of how we can survive, because if we don't win, our sponsors and partners will be not happy. So this is something also. And last but not least, like the human, like I mentioned, human is in the center of everything. And why? Because we are humans, and without humans, we will not go along. And that's why I explained to you before, happy people perform better. Happy people, they live better, and we want that they are happy, that they are being listened. We want to know who is the human behind the mechanic or the rider. We want to be with open, not open arms like families, but we are colleagues. And when we want to go through difficulties, we need to know more than that. And this is what we work, and this is what we do. And I think this is our DNA. And like I said, we have people on all the levels for certain reasons. Otherwise, you don't need a structure, you don't need an organization. And me and Rafi, we're really a super couple where we can. We support each other. We have I come from the sports side. He comes from not the sports side, but he has sport in as well. But what he has, this is the beauty about. We share together same direction of philosophy and values, feet on the ground, but ambition, and with the right way of ambition. And is it do you always need to make it a deal, or do you need to always win bike races? Yes, yeah, but with the right approach, because then you also can sleep easier when you see if you have done in the right approach, the right just do things wrong. And if you do things right, the one day will come that success is also coming. Success doesn't fall just from trees. It's like money. Money doesn't come out of the ground. I mean, you need to work hard. We work hard, but it's not me. It's us. The whole team is working hard. Every single person has given the best to build our house we are building, because and the more solid our ground is bigger and higher and taller we can go. Mm-hmm. And how far we go, I don't know.
That's brilliant. So let me just take this. Sorry, my cat's watering fountain was making some noise. I like the ethos. It's new school. And Fabian, I'd really like to know.
No, it's not about new school. It's just different because it's, again, our team, it's not a team that has become a company. We have been a company that has made a cycling team.
Hmm. Okay.
So we have already, you know, bringing people back on the bike, bringing kids back on the bike, motivate kids to see our team, to see also in Switzerland, the strong Swiss Cycling Federation, they're doing a great job. That they also, I mean, you know, we have Tour of Switzerland, we have the Cycling Federation Switzerland, we have the team, we have on that level now the top league of three products. And if we can enable that, the parents will motivate also the kids, and the kids motivate themselves to go on the pump tracks, or even people that they participate on our events, on Chasing Cancellara events, where we have challenges, long distance events, where we want also people go through things in life, and you need to have goals in life, and I mean, look, bike riders as well, they have also ambition, their ambition as well, but also for goals. And I think cycling is a unique sport because it's reachable, touchable, accessible, everyone can do it. And when I stopped in 2016 and also in 17-18, this always came up that I want to give back to cycling something. And this something has now three different layers. This is a top sport, but this has become last. But first it was more fans, supporters, people to let them have adventures and challenges with our events. And then we have also our kids program, where we want to bring kids on the pump tracks to let them ride on pump tracks, because not every kid has a bike at home and can ride the bike. So you see, we have three layers, and on every layer is something to give back to cycling. And if I can give a piece to this professional sport, that it turns into a better sport for them that are riding now at this time Paris-Nice or even Tirreno Adriatico, it's fine. If not, I'm definitely sure that this, what I'm doing, is the right approach for myself, because on the end I have peace with myself, I have my freedom. Still, I have also my responsibility, because having everything around we have, it's again not possible without the people around us, around me. Otherwise, this will not work, because I'm not the master of everything. I'm just supporting, and we support each other, and this is why it functions and it works.
Mm. In the early days of, I guess, those first 1 or 2 years as you're starting to build it, or build the team, what were some of the challenges that you came across in the early phases of Tudor, or even before Tudor was on board?
You have always challenges, good ones or bad ones, but I think the challenges we have is if you're at the right direction. But I think on the basic, we believe in what we do, and this gives our kind of not freedom, but that everything is working, that everything is on time, that because sometimes it's not us, sometimes it's just the things around you that you can't handle because it's not in your hands. Does will arrive the equipment, does will arrive everything, do we have now the new truck that will come in the certain time, then the organization. So these are the small little things sometimes that we can't control, because it's not on our hand. But we try to make understand the people we work, that everyone is in the same direction of understanding of what we do. Because if things doesn't will arrive on time, this can have an influence on the performance side. This can have an influence on the motivation side of giving the best out of yourself. And that's why we push the boundaries on that level to really to be aligned with all our partners and to get the best.
Mm. When you wanted to build this team, did you already have Tudor on board, or is this something that you sort of constructed with your partner Ralph, and then went to Tudor to say, would you like to, you know, be the title sponsor here? Or was it sort of which came first? Because it's such a great powerful.
Yeah, look, there was the Swiss young team in Switzerland where it has become fall apart and we heard about, and they said, hey, here we need to step in because 16 young guys are losing their dreams of become one day potentially professional cyclist. And we did that. But first of all, it was more mentor, it was more supporting them, but not owning or doing things. And then they could go to races. We find some partners. Things went more, and we took them more to our side, into our organization, to support them, to be a bit more structured. And of course, it was always nice to one day to become a professional, a Swiss professional cycling team out of this. Mm. But of course, for this, you need people. For this, you need also a certain amount of support. And the one day came that, there was this meeting with them, and this helped us then on the end to really... to make a difference, is because on our basic stuff, on our values, on who we are and the way we see things has made that possible, because Tudor could go potentially to all kind of different teams. But for them, this was the right approach. This was the right project. Then we joined together quite fast, and we went quite out public we went early out in public, and then this is the follow-up of what we have done the last 2.5 years.
Mm, yeah, fantastic. Tudor sponsor, or they're partnering with a lot of races. I can't remember exactly what races. Maybe it's the, there's certainly a lot of European races. So they're obviously
there is now the Great Ocean Road at Cadell's race. There is Flanders Classic. There is a Giro d'Italia organization. Look, if there is a spot where they have their strategy, they have their ways to do things. Mm. And I think if they do things right, then it's also potentially on high quality, and not just, yeah, they do it a bit because they like it. I mean, of course, what they do also outside of cycling, they do quite... they have the All Blacks, they have the Rugby World Cup, they have also the Alinghi project in the America's Cup. They're supporting...
Yes, I've seen that.
The America's Cup, then David Beckham, and they do the Big Wave Surf League they have as well. They have some also big wave surfer on the contract. So they do on the sport side,
Wow.
I think... Born to Dare, that's their hashtag. And if you look the way we race, I mean, the daring approach is also what we face. The shield protects. So we are the shield. We go into the front and we're going to fight and we go to our thing. So that's also our racing approach. By unity and character is the one thing, but the team spirit is the other. But the daring approach is the way. We go to races with ideas, with the plan, to get the best out of it and not just to race and being in a breakaway. And it's nice, it's cool, because for this we don't need to then we can stay home.
I see it. I love that you said the shield. I didn't actually know that's what it was. I'm just looking at Arnold Decline's post up yesterday. It's a shield on the front of the jersey. The jersey is great, shield, by the way. The jerseys look so good. They are magnificent.
Thank
yeah.
Thank you.
Really, really nice with the red. Love it. Now, I find sponsorship so interesting, not just in cycling, but in all sports, like some of the sports you just mentioned. And I didn't know they also look after partnering with the All Blacks too. Big fan of the All Blacks. Mm-hmm. How do you grow? What do you think some of the big things that yourself, the team, staff, and its achievements, What are the real important things to grow a sponsorship or partnership with Tudor into something long term? What are the things the team need to do well or tick off apart from winning that can turn Tudor and into a 10-year connection?
Look,
I mean, is it all tied to success or is there more to it?
I think it's basic. It's a project that with the vision and the certain ambition as well we have, but also it's the people we are having around, and I think it's also lead by trust and the way you treat your partners, and Tudor is a partner and not an owner. But we treat them that they are a unit with us, so we are one unit, and you need to open up. You need to get them into your organization also to understand what you do,
Yes.
for what you need certain budgets, for what you do certain decisions, why you raise those races. Even we could say, this is ours, this is yours. You're selling watches, you're building watches, and we winning bike races, and we know how to run a cycling team, of course. We know how to run, but I think we can learn from the best. I think on that business side where they are in, and this gives also to us certain instruments where we can learn a lot. But like I said, it's definitely the basic stuff that that we have to keep. And this is, we deal with humans, we deal with people, and it's not only about contracts and money and duration. Of course, this has also became important then, but before it was just really about talking about life, about how you see the life, how you see your sport, how you have developed all this with your past, and if it's matched, it's matched. If not, it could also be the opposite, that this will not match, but then it's potential is not the right partner, because a project like this, just to sponsor a team, we have seen that's just too easy. But it's also not the brand with the brand legacy they have, because when you go a bit deep, there is also some certain heritage around, and this is a sponsor that they are really going for this heritage as well, because it's also important, because then it's also how call that authentic. Because what is authentic is then also something that also in the end lasts much longer, because if this doesn't go, then you know, I mean, it's it will not work, because people are not stupid. People will see what is right and what is wrong, and what is real and what is just not right.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. I think it's interesting what you said about welcoming or bringing Tudor into your organization to show them what you're doing, and how it all works. Because my day job, Fabian, is I work for a trail foundation, right? An off-road cycling trail. It's 1,000 kilometers long. It's called the Mundabiti Trail. It's amazing. But we mainly rely on big sponsors, right? And because we're a not-for-profit. Now, we have one particular sponsor, which many might not like, because it is a mining company and they do mine a lot of the forest in WA, but they're called Alcoa, right? And they've got billions. It's one of the biggest companies in the world. And we just needed a bit of funding because they mine around the areas where the trail goes through. And they were a bit tentative about coming on board and supporting us. And it wasn't until we actually brought them out to a riding day, it's a gravel trail, and we brought their employees, their key staff members, and we brought them out to ride a bit of the trail, and it goes through the beautiful forest. It's unbelievable. And they'd never seen it because these weren't bike riders, they were miners, they were admin staff, managers, CEOs, etc. And once we brought them out to the trail, took them riding, showed them what we do, showed them what the volunteers did, then very quickly after that, they were on board because they could see what their funding would facilitate and what the trail's all about. And it became real rather than just an email exchange or a phone call or a meeting. So I see what you're saying. There's a similar aspect there about showing the partners what you guys do in your world, and what that sort of partnership can get you.
Look, it's also, yeah, you see the jersey, you see the partner, you see Tudor, but it's not just the brand. It's the people behind the brand that makes the brand even more stronger. And I mean, yeah, for me, it was clear. Show them who you are, bring them into your world, in our world now, because it's not my world now, it's our world. Bring them to races, show them also for the employees. I mean, if the employee starts to ride their bike, I mean, then we have success because we have new fans, new supporters, new people that will join the world of cycling, and this is about, and this is also special and unique because it's a sport, like I said, it's accessible, reachable, touchable. You can go with whatever, which person in the world, you can go to ride the bike. But when you are on the bike, doesn't matter who you are. You just are on the bike. You have bibs, you have clothing on in generally, and then a helmet, and then just roll. Of course, if it's uphill, it's difficult for some of the others, but it's just everyone's challenges, whatever he does. And this is a beauty in our sport that doesn't will be in any other sports possible.
So moving on just to a bit of I want to ask you a couple of questions about the classics. Now, I often think about the rivalry between Wout van Aert and Mathieu van der Poel quite a bit, and you could probably include Pogacar these days and also Remco as well. There's so many. But when I look at Wout and van der Poel, their rivalry's been going for so long, from cyclocross to road, everything. I always compare it with yourself and Tom Boonen, and I'm sure many others have brought that up before. But I just wondered, how powerful is having a rival who's very similar ability, has similar goals, and really challenges you individually? What was that rivalry like for you, Fabian? Did it, how would you explain it, your rivalry with Tom?
Yeah, rivalry. I mean, it's. I mean, your rivals you have all the time in cycling. I mean, competitors on those level races you like, you are strong at, and you see potential. I mean, if it was time trial, if it was road races, classic races, prologues, whatever it was. I think yeah, Tom was in my area. And my decade was we have been rivals, and today we see Wout van Aert, Van der Poel, we see yeah, Vingegaard, Pogacar, we see quite different riders now, and I think this is the beauty of the sport, that is also needed to make our sport even more excitement for people there watching. And I think it's quite special, and it's part of the sport and makes the sport just interesting as well. But for me, mentally, I respected those athletes around me. But on the other hand, I had to fight for myself because I wanted to win bike races. And this is what I trained for. This is what I sacrificed for. And this I got out. And yeah, then some victories came.
Some did.
Few.
90, 96, 93, maybe. Close to 100 pro races.
Oh, I stopped counting.
Something like
But I
that.
haven't so many like others.
Yes. Did you ever prepare differently for a race, based on, who was competing or who wasn't? If you were the favorite, did it change the way you prepared for a race versus maybe when you're an outsider on a different terrain or parkour?
I honestly, no, I had some tough times around my training period, my training, how called my training. Of course, depending what I have to train for, I went pretty hard on it. I sacrifice for it, but I also get good out of it. I think I did I did everything right, what was right to do. And I followed my gut feeling, my experiences. I followed the training schedules, and this mix has made me this, what I have achieved on the end potentially. Yes.
Did you prefer racing rather than training?
Both.
Oh.
Sometimes I liked a lot to race. Sometimes I liked a lot to train, but not always everything in one. So I knew it when I need to train. I knew it when I need to race.
When you were out training, say if you're doing a hard, like a proper hard session, you know, intervals, tough day on the bike. What would you think about? Would you think about this particular moment in those intervals that would?
Yeah, of course.
What was it? Was
of
it
a course.
Moment on Arenberg? Was it in a TT?
For me, of course, it was important to go so deep. I mean, now when we see the Omloop weekend, I never raced proper Omloop, but honestly, I was happy to be at home and train hard, because I knew they race hard, so I wanted to train harder. And this helped my motivation to kick my ass and to give everything out of myself in those training hours I'm doing at home. So I did my own race without professional support in terms of feeding zones and you know, like you can do in races, you can do differently. So I really went
deep.
Deep.
Did you ever
try? It's temporary. Memories last forever, you know.
Oh, they do. Did you ever use the ergo much, the trainer, or were you always just on the bike outside, or did you have ergo sessions?
No, at the time I didn't like the ergos as now, because the ergo at our time
terrible, was right?
Different ergo. Today you can do indoor easily, online easy.
What would you say is one of the moments that you reflect on the most in your career? It might be a race win, or it might be a special particular moment in a race, or after a race. Is there something that you think back on every now and again that comes to mind?
Look, I enjoyed my life as a bike rider. I enjoyed whatever I could do around, and I knew the one day will come when it's over, and this over has become. And I mean, I'm happy with everything that I'm facing now, because I know what it means to be on bad weather. Because the good thing about riding the bike is, as better you get, as easier it is to ride your bike.
Yeah.
For me, that has been always hard, doing time trial intervals when you're not fit.
Ooh.
I tell you, it's not fun. But if you're good, you can hold the speed, and you can go deep also mentally, then it's a pleasure to go 60k an hour or 50k an hour. But you know, today we rode it 54, 56, 11 or 56, 10. Today they go with chain ring for 62, 11 or 62, 10. So you see how cycling has changed. So I could go 70k an hour. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. They love to say the chain ring size, don't they? But whether or not you can push it, that's another thing. You know, anyone can ride a 62 if you still got a 10.
I liked only to have those gears when I could push, because then it's also fantastic when you ride and you can see that you go faster than a scooter.
Did you see that guy with Wout van Aert after the race with the scooter, the e-bike?
Yeah. No, but this was not the pimped scooter. This was just a normal scooter, but in a scooter, in Switzerland, we have electric bikes that go 45k an hour.
Really?
So, we have that. We have versions of 25 kilometers an hour, and we have electric bikes with 45k an hour. But those bikes are bikes that you need license. I mean, not a license, but you need a number plate on the bike.
Really?
And I tell you, it's.
We have them here as well.
I have already seen riders doing motor pacing behind electric bike.
We do that actually on our bike paths to work, because you'll be going to work and many people scooter on the bike path. And some of them, in Australia, they're you're not, they actually don't go above 25K an hour, but you can take them to a bike shop and they take out the chip, the
They pimp
limiter.
your bike.
They pimp your bike. That's right. So you'll be behind one of these people on a supercharged,
You know, but I have seen already riders doing that.
Is that right?
Because he doesn't, it's
No
just
exhaust.
guy in the front that also pedaling, and there's a small exercise on plus, but it's not the same as it's like you just cruising.
Fabian, where do you keep your Roubaix trophies? Your three
In
stones.
our sauna.
Where?
In our sauna.
In your
In the hot,
sauna?
hot room, how cold, where you sweat.
Well, I know what a sauna is, yeah, but what are they just, are they on a shelf or something?
No, they are in behind the window.
In the sauna.
Yeah, it's a special window that doesn't heat up.
Doesn't
It's a
fog.
special, yeah. It's a special glass, and it's how we call it. It's yeah. There are three trophies, so people have a Picasso at home, or even other painting, or even other trophies. So Muhammad Ali pants, I don't know. Or all kinds of things. I don't know, but I have my three sauna, my three Paris-Roubaix stones in on a window where I can be and relaxed, chill out in the sauna, and I see my stones. It's quite nice, no?
Wow, that's cool. That's really cool. I'll check off. There must be a photo online, surely.
Yeah, there is. I
I'll
don't
look it up.
publish a lot on home because it's my home,
Yeah, of
but
course.
there must be a picture somewhere where you see it, yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll do some digging. Now I've got two last questions from some of our Patreons. Jando asks you, Fabian, what's the biggest change in cycling you've noticed since your career came to when you stopped in 2016?
That I'm super slow now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, biggest change is easy. We have seen the young generation moving up and coming stride heavily in. The young generation is now really coming in. This is
Yeah. Do you remember what it was like when you first started? When did you turn pro?
I had no chance to follow the other riders.
Really, how old were you when you turned pro?
Yeah, same 18, 19, 20.
Yeah.
And today, a 1920 is already pimping up in the front and winning bike races, kind of. So it's today is at my time, it was only me and Pozzato that joined straight away to professionals,
Ah,
kind of.
yes.
But today is quite normal that people just joining professional cyclists, cycling in after the juniors.
No, yeah.
And big change. The young generation has pimped a lot now. Yeah.
I love that word, pimped. It's a good word. Now, the next question is from Heinrich, and he asked, having the chance to race and work with multiple brands across your career, which teams did you ride for that you felt supported you the best? And your search for race wins. So, of all the teams that you race for, which team do you feel maybe gave you the best support to chase and get all of the wins that you did? Or maybe it was even a particular brand that you were associated with.
No, I think, look, if I will say, of course, when I became professional with Pinarello and Colnago was a different area of innovation. But of course, when I worked with Cervelo, when we worked with Specialized, when I joined with Trek, this is all levels of performance driven, and also collaborations to get best out of what we have, and working on better bikes on all the things around. And I was never in a team where, where we not have worked on that, and that's why that was always important for me as well, that we have partners around that are supporting the project. And not just sleeping and giving you the bag that is good, because it's about to get the best one out. So there is no bad. Of course, in terms of teams, of course, the years with Bjarne Riis was an amazing time. Special years, a lot of learnings, a lot of special memories I could take out. But if it's this better or that better, that's not fair and that's not right, because every decade has, or every
Every
certain teams I have
period.
been has been an amazing time.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Do you still have any of your race bikes from back in the day? And are
Do
they
what?
displayed nicely, like the sauna? They're not in the sauna, are they?
No, listen, the bikes are not displayed in that, but now in the office we have, there are a few bikes. There are a few bikes all over. I still miss a few ones, but Trek hasn't given me the, I'll call it, yeah, I miss a few ones, but that's not a problem because I still have also other few ones. But what I miss is I have the Trek yellow jersey bike from 2012, but what I don't have is the yellow specialized bike I got in Monaco in the Monaco time trial where I won the day
Really?
after. This bike got stolen, like with other bikes, like
Oh.
Sagan's bike, Cipollini's bike at the headquarters of Specialized. But otherwise, yeah, I have great memories. I have great bikes. This I have. This is also nice. And yeah, it's a piece of my history, of my past, what I have achieved.
Fantastic. And now, Tudor Pro Cycling. Fantastic. It was really nice, Fabio, to learn more about the team. And I think they're just, you're just getting started. It's going to be a great year. And
Yeah, we are in a good way. But like I said, it's not I need to be on the races when we win. Of course, it's nice, but I want to be there when the team doesn't run well, when things are not going well, when we have downs. Then I want to be around because then I think it's time to be with the team. But not if not, it's their stage. They need to
nice.
celebrate, they need to learn, they need to experience all this, what I know, what it means when you're out there.
Love it. Fabian, thank you so much, mate, for coming on the TPR podcast. It was great
You're
to
welcome.
speak with you. Very, very appreciate it.
No worry, no worry. Thank you too. And sorry for my delay.
No, no problem. No problem at all. Good luck and
Okay, thank you. All the best.
Legends, that's another episode of the Press Room Podcast done and dusted. Thank you so much for listening. If this is your first time on the podcast, make sure you leave a review on Apple or hit the 5 stars on Spotify and leave a rating. It really helps boost the pod up and get more eyes and ears on the podcast. And let's face it, Fabian Cancellara, he doesn't get interviewed every day. And I hope this one can get to as many ears as possible. So, legends, thanks for listening. I'll see you next week for another episode of the TPR Podcast. Cheers.